Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure not only to welcome our many listeners, but also the four exciting, individual, and humorous talents who this week are going to pit their wits and display their verbal dexterity as they play Just a Minute. We welcome that flamboyant and extrovert comedian and actor, Tony Slattery, the stand-up comedian and all-round performer, Stephen Frost, the actor and theatre producer, Derek Nimmo, and the restaurateur, politician, writer, racehorse owner, you name it, he's done it, Clement Freud. Would you please welcome all four of them? And as usual, I am going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Anne Osborne, who's going to help me keep the score. She's going to hold the stopwatch, and she'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from St. James' Concert Hall in the delightful and lovely island of Guernsey. And we are going to begin the show this week. Who better? Yes, Tony Slattery. Tony, will you go on the subject of The Gatecrasher, starting now?
Well, interesting enough for those listening at home, there are, in fact, in this concert hall, 350 gatecrashers. Because another...
Clement Freud challenge almost immediately, yes. And we can recognize the hesitation, Clement. You get a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject. It's The Gatecrasher, and there are 51 seconds starting now.
Technically, I suppose a gatecrasher is someone who goes to a party to which he or she has not been invited. My advice to one of those people, should there be a...
Tony Slattery, you've got back in again. Yes, it was. You've got back in again. You have 40 seconds to continue, starting now.
You just reminded me, one of the most literal pieces of gatecrashing I ever did was on my first driving test. I happened to fail it because when the chap said, when I hit the dashboard, you have to do an emergency stop, I put it into reverse and drove into someone's garden. This is absolutely true, and I, in fact, failed the test. And what's more...
Derek, I'm a challenge in the test. You were doing the test.
Yes.
So, a correct challenge from you, Derek. You get a point, of course, for that. There are 22 seconds still available. The subject is The Gatecrasher.
If you're going to a society party which you're attempting to gatecrash, I would advise you to go dressed, if you're a man, as a major in the Argyll and Sutherland Highlanders. Nobody will ever question your apparel. You'll be welcomed and sat down, given a glass of champagne, or maybe something even strong, perhaps a whiskey and soda, if that is the kind of tipple that you like. I did actually witness in Colombo last year.
In this game, whoever is speaking as the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Derek Nimmo. Derek, it's nibbles. Tell us something about nibbles in this game, starting now.
I myself have never been a great nibbler. My wife, in fact, likes nibbles, and she has them strategically around the house. You go into one room, there'll be a bowl with some nuts within it. Perhaps another has crisps or even chips, and perhaps somewhere else will be...
Stephen Frost challenge.
Two perhaps.
Give it a keep going. Stephen, 44 seconds are available. You have a point for the correct challenge. Nibbles is with you, starting now.
Last week, my pet cat died. It was called Nibbles. And of course, the whole family was very sad. It was my fault. I didn't think the microwave would kill it. But it was the only way to dry it after washing it. Nibbles was the family favourite. He used to come up to us when we were cooking and sit on the salad board and rub its bottom up and down, making the food very unhealthy. But we loved that cat.
Clement Freud challenged you after that disgusting remark you made. And you've... Clement, what was your challenge?
Repetition of ha.
Of ha?
Ha, ha, ha.
I don't think that was a correct challenge, Stephen. So you have a point for an incorrect challenge. You have 21 seconds available for you on Nibbles starting now.
Of course, we brought a new one and named it Nibbles.
Clement, there was always a challenge.
Repetition of course.
Clement, 20 seconds available for you on Nibbles starting now.
Nibbles are an excellent thing to take a party that you're gatecrashing. Bring a bowl of Nibbles and nobody will stop you at the door and say, have you been invited? Chips, crisps, nuts, pretzels, whatever there is in the container with Nibbles will give you free entry to the...
And Derek got in...
Repetition of entry.
Yes, you did mention entry before. And you... Oh, there's 2 seconds left, Derek. So, Nibbles, 2 seconds.
I really love having my ear laid.
Right, at the end of that round, Derek Nimmo, speaking of this win, got the extra point. He's equal to Clement Freud in the lead. Stephen Frost and Tony Saffy follow in that order. And, Stephen, we'd like you to take the next round. Barcode. Tell us something about it in this game, starting now.
Next time you go shopping to the supermarket, take a black felt-tip pen with you. And when you pick up the product you wish to purchase, put a line down the barcode and you'll find you'll get it much cheaper than originally priced. I've been doing this for years and getting away with it, mostly with my cat food for Nibbles, who I no longer have, of course. But when I first bought that feline...
Tony, your challenge.
A little hesitation.
Yes, I definitely. 39 seconds, Tony. Another point to you and barcodes with you, starting now.
If, like me and Nicholas, you frequent singles bars... I've often thought the best way to break the ice with strangers is to have a certain barcode, by which I mean you wear badges on which you put your favorite topic of conversation. For instance, with the aforesaid chairman, it would be alcoholism. With me, it might be gingham frocks. The point is that if you have a...
Stephen Frost is telling.
Gingham frocks, deviation.
So, 15 seconds with you, Stephen. Barcode starting now.
If you cut out the barcodes from all packets of cornflakes or any type of cereal in the supermarket and stack them end to end, you'll...
It's an impossible game. Yes, so many phrases are repetitious. And Clement, you got in first. You got a point for that, of course. And barcodes back with you. 6 seconds starting now.
One of the most interesting things about barcodes is...
Stephen...
Yes, and barcodes aren't interesting.
Well, they have to say are to Clement. I've got to be fair within the rules.
Yeah, they would be to Clement. Yeah.
So you're not, strictly speaking, deviating within the rules of just a minute. So still with you, Clement. 3 seconds, barcode, starting now.
When evening comes, I never tire.
Clement got that extra point at the end of the round. He's also taken the lead, and he begins the next round. Clement, the information highway, that is the subject. Tell us something about it in just a minute, starting now.
I'm not tremendously conversant with the information highway, but for the record, if you want to email me, the number is fr.point/barcode UK. No comment. I have a typewriter which is not going to survive the millennium, because one of the ratchets has dropped off.
Strangely, you haven't come, you actually challenged yourself, then.
Hesitation,
yes. 33 seconds, starting now.
If you drive up the motorway, you will find all sorts of information on that highway. Turn left, no stopping, kill... R-A-C.
Stephen, what is
kill?
Kill?
Just kill?
Speed kill.
Can I hit car and shoot somebody?
Just west of Dublin.
It's not on the highway. You justified it, Clement, right. Another point to you, 24 seconds. The information highway is starting now.
No information.
Derek, challenge first.
We haven't any information, sir.
Needs to write. 23 seconds, the information highway, Derek, starting now.
I must say it has changed my life considerably, because I put on places like, say, Jakarta, and if I want to send a poster down the line full of the design and color, I do the information highway. And somehow or other, why it works, I've no idea. Sitting on a desk in Indonesia, out it pops, and they can then print the artwork from it. It is an absolute miracle. I can't get...
Derek was speaking as a whistle wind, gained that extra point for doing so. He's moved forward, but he's still training our leader, Clement Freud. Terry, it's your turn to begin The 1001 Nights. Tell us something about them in just a minute, starting now.
Like the Song of Solomon, The 1001 Nights is a hymn to physical love. Euterpe and agape are the classical terms therein. In The 1001 Nights, many positions are tried. And even when boredom sets in, Nicholas, I'm looking at you here, the main thing is... that invention, physical passion, floods the scene, and everyone is alight with the joys of rubbing up against each other. I'm talking about Nibbles now, the cat. Yes, anything goes. There are no rules in this world of 1001 nights. The Arabic term for 1001 nights is 1001 nights. That's because in
Tony, that's the longest anybody's gone for a while. We went for 46 seconds. Oh, well, well done. But unfortunately, you stumbled there. Clement Freud got in first. 14 seconds with you, Clement. The 1001 nights starting now.
1001 nights is a rather higher figure than you tend to get at investitures. Nevertheless, you go to Buckingham Palace, having been summoned by Her Majesty, who appears with a sword, which she claps upon your shoulder, saying, "Arise, Sir 987.
Clement Freud was speaking as a whistle, and gained that all-important extra point to move him forward. And, Derek, we move to you now to begin the next round. The subject, Daddy Long Legs. Tell us something about it in this game, starting now.
Daddy Long Legs is a book written by Gene Webster in about 1903, I think. It is a very charming book about a little girl who...
Stephen Frost.
About
yes, and a book as well, right. Stephen, you've got in with 51 seconds available. Daddy Long Legs, starting now.
When I was at school, we used to catch them on the playing fields and pull their legs off one by one and make them spin around.
You're a great theology man, aren't you? 45 seconds. Back with you is the subject of Daddy Long Legs, Derek, starting now.
One of the governors of the school noticed a particular girl and thought that she would benefit from a better education. So she was sent away to a college in a different part of America, and then she was told to write a letter once a week to this man called Smith. It wasn't his real name, but she wasn't allowed to know what he was called, so she had to call him Daddy Longlegs, and that she did. And many years later, many letters.
You've got in there, Stephen. 23 seconds available. Daddy Longlegs starting now.
The best thing to do with these insects, if you catch them when they get on your nerves.
Derek Jones.
Provision of catch.
You talked about catching them before, I'm afraid. Derek, you got in first. 18 seconds. Daddy Longlegs starting now.
The crane fly, which is the official name of Daddy Longlegs.
Right, Stephen Frost, you've challenged. What is your challenge?
It was a bit of a slur and a hesitation.
Well, I'm sure you're right. So,
one of the words.
14 seconds. Daddy Longlegs, Stephen, starting now.
When they fly into an easterly wind, they get mesmerized by the noise passing over their antennae. This has been scientifically proved by the famous Professor...
Derek Jones.
I haven't got antennae.
Satellite dish or something.
Correct challenge, deviation, 4 seconds. With you, Derek, starting now.
Hello, Daddy Longlegs.
You've been challenged by Tony Chadwick.
I'm sorry, this is a deviation from the English language. I didn't understand the first word.
And deviation from Derek's normal delivery as well. So, Tony, you've got him with 2 seconds on Daddy Long Legs, starting now.
Pull their legs off and they can make really good false eyelashes.
At the end of that round, Clement Freud is still in the lead. And Stephen Frost, it is your turn to begin. The subject, the human condition. Now, this could be a subject rarely chosen for you, isn't it?
Of course.
Tell us something about the human condition in 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, I was having a long discussion about the human condition with my friend Stephen Fry the other day. And he said to me, if you go on that program just a minute, I'll tell you what to say. World, peace, war, what's it all about? Why do humans fight? Why do they make up and then start the argy-bargy again? This is part of the human condition. That's what he told me, and I've said it to you. I think we can all...
Tim and Freud challenge.
Repetition.
Yes, but which one do you want?
Repetition.
I have to know, because you might say something which he didn't repeat.
Repetition of what Stephen Fry told him.
That is a clever challenge to get you a bonus point, but he didn't actually challenge him for the sum of the words he repeated. So, Stephen, you still keep the subject. And you have 35 seconds to continue on the human condition starting now.
In the great scheme of things, when whatever God is looking down upon us, they must think, why are these people doing what they do? And I can only reply, I don't know either. And this is part of the human condition, not knowing why we're here.
And Derek, number two.
There isn't a Y. Yeah.
There's a lot of Ys there, yes. Yeah. Derek, 19 seconds. The human condition starting now.
2 weeks ago, I was in Sri Lanka, and there'd been a terrible battle on the Jaffna Peninsula. And this is what I really mean by the human condition, how people can slaughter each other like that. 2,000 young men were killed, some tiger from Tamil, and the others are ordinary soldiers. And as I was going to the airport, leaving the country...
Well, on that rather sad note, Derek Nimmer brought that round to a close. Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject, patois. Tell us something about that subject. Starting now.
An interesting French nursery rhyme goes, patois, patois, homme du boulanger.
Tony,
I think there was a little hesitation.
Yes, yeah, there was, a definite right, Tony, 52 seconds. Patois, starting now.
One of my favourite jokes about South African patois is, of course I've got a grudge, where would I put my car? That isn't, of course, the generally understood term when you're talking about patois. For instance, Cockney patois often sounds a bit like the language I was talking about earlier. For instance, hurry up with those fish and chips, I've got a train to catch. That's what people used to say.
The person laughing largest at that last remark was Tony Slatter, the manager of Liberty.
I'm sorry.
What is corpse stew of your own?
Oh.
I thought you were going to go into your impersonations of the EastEnders characters, which you do so well.
Oh, thank you. I'll remember that for next time.
Yes. Cameron, you got in first. 22 seconds. Patois, starting now.
Pat a cake, patois, baker's man. Make me a cake as quick as you can was really what I was going to say on the subject of patois. It's also a means of...
Derek Nimmer, challenge.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yes. 9 seconds, patois, with you, Derek.
When I'm in southwest France at the drawing, one of my favorite things to eat is patois de foie gras. It is absolutely delicious. On the other hand, if you're traveling in the city...
Derek Nimmo got that extra point for speaking as a whistle went, and our two most experienced players of the game, he and Clement Freud, are now equal in the lead. And Tony Slattery, your turn to begin, and the subject here is tax havens. We can't imagine why that has come up in front of this particular audience, but talk on the subject if you can, starting now.
Well, of course, etymologically speaking, the word haven is a simple linguistic constriction of the word heaven. So I imagine a tax haven is a place where tax inspectors and VAT men sit around on fluffy clouds with long white beards, playing harps and saying lovely things to you like, you owe me no money at all, and here's a lovely little song. Another tax haven...
Stephen Frost, Charles.
Two lovelies.
There were two lovelies, yes. Yes, so tax havens with you, Stephen Frost. 40 seconds, starting now.
The best place to keep your money without paying tax is under your bed. Because have you ever seen a queue outside a mattress? I think you'll find that that is the easiest...
There ain't no challenge.
Right, now, as a great mistake, I thought he was going to pack up, but he suddenly came talking. He had an agonized, constipated look on his face, and I thought he was going to stop, but he didn't. I apologize.
That's good.
He didn't make the point.
Thank you very much.
No.
That's the spirit of going to be played. 30 seconds, Stephen. Tax haven with you starting now.
Of course, none of us here need a tax haven because we don't get paid enough by the BBC for doing this.
Clement Freud, challenge.
I'm sorry, but BBC is...
Oh, yes, BBC.
I take it down.
Right, 26 seconds with you, Clement. Tax haven starting now.
I would like Tony to talk about EastEnders a lot.
Tony, you've challenged. That was clever, you challenged and then pressed your buzzer. The tax havens with you, back with you, Tony, and how many seconds? 20, starting now.
Yes, a little in fact is that the East End of London is one of the most popular tax havens. It's where they all talk like this. I've got to get out of this bloody square, it's doing my head in. Leave it, it's family.
The audience then could applaud me because they saw you pick up your buzzer and buzz yourself there.
I think it was deviation from the subject.
Right, Tony, you challenge yourself, you've got a correct challenge, and you have 8 seconds on tax haven starting now.
Well, Guernsey is a tax haven in the way that...
Stephen Frost.
I'm going to go for hesitation there.
Why?
You said it in an and.
I think there was a bit of hesitation. Yeah.
You're very generous. So, Stephen, 5 seconds on tax haven starting now.
One of the best places that's known as a tax haven in this whole wild world, of course...
Well, Well, for those interested in points, Stephen Frost got a number in that round. He's moved forward, and in descending order, with only 1 point separating them all, it is Clement Floyd, Derrick Nimmer, Stephen Frost, and Tony Slattery. So it's still very close. Derrick, the next subject is buffer. We'd love you to take it and talk on it starting now.
Sometimes a buffer state can be very useful to the country which actually is the buffer, for instance, Thailand. It was never colonized or occupied because it stood between British, Burma, India and Malaya on one side and Vietnam, Laos and Cambodia, which were French, on the other. And that was greatly to their benefit. I myself am rapidly becoming a ciliary buffer. Now, it's not something which I contemplated some years ago when I started doing this program, but I find myself... I still stand up. Let ladies sit down.
Stephen.
To myself, sir.
To myself, yes. Stephen, you're doing well. Right, you've got in there 30 seconds on buffer, starting now.
At the end of the railway line, you normally get two big buffers to stop the train going out of the station where it shouldn't, because that's the terminal, you see, where they stop to let the passengers off. And if the buffer wasn't there, there would be an almighty accident, which we wouldn't want, would we? So the buffer is in place to keep the train on the track, on the rails, on.
Stephen, you may struggle, but they love the way you do it. And Derrick got in first. 4 seconds. Buffer with you, Derrick, starting now.
An old moustache, well-worn.
Clement, challenge you.
We've had old before.
You've mentioned old. You've said about your old buffer you said before, and now you said old moustache. So, Clement, you've got in with 1 second on buffer starting now.
A wedding buffer is with...
Clement has now taken the lead just ahead of Derrick Nimmo and Stephen Frost, and then comes Tony Slattery. And Stephen, your turn to begin. The subject, a trip to the dentist. Tell us something about that painful experience for so many of us, starting now.
The last time I made a trip to the dentist, he said to me, sit down and open wide, know your mouth. It got off on the wrong foot, but at least we got to know each other. Rinse this out and I'll have a look. And he found, right at the back of my mouth, an ingrowing... What are they called? Toenail?
Tony, you challenge.
I think it was hesitation.
I think it was hesitation, yes. 38 seconds. Tell us about a trip to the dentist, starting now.
Coincidentally, instead of dental floss to pick bits out between my teeth, I use Stephen's ingrowing toenails. And they're very useful. Funnily enough, this is true. The last time I went to the dentist, I had an accident in that I had one of my wisdom teeth taken out, and the dentist actually severed the lingual nerve, which means half of my tongue is numb, and I keep biting it, and my mouth keeps filling with blood. That's a nice little jolly tale, isn't it? And I just thought I'd share it with you. The anesthetic they use at the dentist is something called lidocaine, which is not the same as the illegal drug cocaine, which, of course, is a controlled substance. No, the aforesaid pharmaceutical...
Tony Slattery is showing off his university education with all that stuff about drugs and... I didn't mean it like that, actually. Oh, I think I see the time. This could be, I think it will be, actually, the last round. So, it's still neck and neck for those interested in scores. Clement, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is showmanship. Tell us something about that subject in just a minute, starting now.
I think a very good instance of showmanship is someone who's asked to speak for 1 minute on a trip to the dentist without hesitation, deviation, or repetition. And does it as well as does the gentleman sitting on my right, whose name, and I'm spinning this out a bit because I have to go on for nearly a minute.
Derrick Nimmo, challenge.
Just a minute.
You mentioned a minute before. I'm sorry, Clement. So, Derrick, you've got in there. 39 seconds available. Showmanship starting now.
What the English theatre needs today are more showmen. There's not enough showmanship. Now, I wanted to balance...
Clement Roy, challenge.
There's grammatical deviation.
Oh, what was it to be?
What the English theatre need.
I think you said need, but it doesn't really matter. Yeah. I think it was sort of colloquially. We all knew what he meant.
Oh, is this a new rule now?
I tell you what I'll do. I haven't done this for a long time, but I will put it to the superior wisdom and judgment of this delightful audience here in St. James's Concert Hall in Ghent. If you agree with Clement's challenge, you cheer for him, and if you disagree, you boo against him, and you all do it together now. Clement, they're with you. And we obviously noticed the grammatical error on Derek's part, so 21 seconds available to you, Clement, on showmanship, starting now.
There is no business like showmanship. A song which I have sung in many theatres all over the world, especially in Thailand, but also in Cambodia and Vietnam. Exeter, Plymouth.
Tony Statue challenge.
Hesitation, I think. And hesitation.
I don't think for a minute he stood up in theatres in Cambodia and Thailand singing, you know, there's no business like showmanship. Tony got him with 2 seconds to go. The end of the last round. Showmanship. Give us a bit of it, Tony. Starting now.
The hymn of showmanship is everything's coming up really.
I said a moment ago, this was for the last round, and indeed it is. So let me give you the final situation. Stephen Frost and Tony Snatcher, who've not played the game quite as much as the other two, but they are so good at it, they finished equal in third place, very apt, but only 2 points behind Derek Nimmo. And the equal number of times of playing the game is Clement Freud. This time, Clement Freud has just won by 2 points. You are the winner this week, Clement. It only remains for me to say thank you to our four delightful players of the game, Clement Freud, Derek Nimmo, Stephen Frost, and Tony Slattery, and I thank Anne Osborne for keeping score for me and blowing her whistle so magnificently and with such style. We also thank the man who created this game, Ian Messiter, and also our producer, Chris Neal, who produces and directs the show with such efficiency, and to all our listeners who have tuned in, we hope you will once more enjoy Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us, goodbye!